Thank you, Patricia. As Patricia said, there's four of us here tonight in Sextet. We're down to the last 20 copies of this edition of it. So, as well as the four of us here tonight, myself and Sheila, and with Bridget over here, and Evelyn as well, who we read in, and also Louis Mulcahy's in it, and we've an American poet. John Pinsmith. So it's on sale here, lads, of course, I mean, you know that, and it's at a barrel price of €10. I'm my menu tonight features dentists, greyhounds, ghosts, dolls, a bit about Seamus Heaney, Kalashnikov rifles, Hillsborough, and a mosh as well. That would be flying mat. So, without further ado, first poem, Dentist Chair, it's in the book, and it will feature, there's a greyhound in it called Master McGrath. He was a famous greyhound for my dad, but so fond of him, even his picture of. He won a lot of races, an Irish dog, he won a lot of races in England. Dentist Chair. Mother rented rooms in the old hotel. One year, Dentist O'Connor taking our sitting room for 2 days a week. Borrowed and drilled his way into my favourite room. Under the painting of Master McGrath, the Oracle of the Greyhound World. His chair was in front of the bookshelf where Mammy kept her nursing books. And my favourite book, A Soldier's Diary from the Boer War. The dentist's victims waited in our hallway, never smiling as you passed, afraid to show their teeth. Sometimes they'd stagger coming out into daylight, mouths woolly. One day I was sent in to get molars checked. His smiling wife greeting me, speaking of nice boy, age 9 matters. Her husband spoke little. His pliers did the talking, forcing my lips apart, stretching skin onto flesh and pulling out the offender. I left his room like McGrath's hound out of the trap, brushing my teeth twice a day from that day forward. And greyhounds and ghosts. Brought up by an uncle in the countryside, and he was a very superstitious man, so he knew all the stories about everything going around in our neighbourhood. Greyhounds and ghosts. Two of us took greyhounds into neighbours' fields. You carried your 70 years well. In those days you were light on your feet, like ankles of the hounds. Rain drove us to shelter under ashen beech, by ruins of a cottage, you said. A family called Hayes used to live here. Then you told us the ghost story. People used to visit the Hayes house for stories, song and music too, if they were lucky, before television's magic lantern. The only plugs in houses back then were tobacco, and their landlord fixed the size of your windows with the ring. One night someone said, "Wouldn't it be great if the old people came back again?" As soon as it was said, rooms started to fill. Those living there knew they were dead. Maybe they had been in shadows all along, just waiting for that night, showed itself to the living, to the morning light. Had some died of disease, broken hearts, unfilled promises, still life and time went on. His story was over with the easing of the rain, greyhounds anxious to go again. Their eyes answered any movement in the dripping grass. Maybe as we left, eyes watched us from the ruins of Hayes's house and smiled, as they knew the storyline would go on, like the lead attached to the collar, strap, arm, hand, memory. Dancing Doll is from my eldest daughter, Alison. I don't do much shopping, but one day I went in with her when she was a child. Dancing Doll. It was a good day. You had just started school. We stopped at the shop. You picked out this doll with an Irish dancing costume under a mop of red hair. Now 5 years on, or Raggedy Dawn has lost his clothes, but still you love her. She sits on the saddlebag of your bike as you pedal round the house. Each day, your circle gets wider. She still has her first day smile, though. Her arms are open for hugs, and her legs are always ready to go dancing. It's May, so it's very near my birthday. So, you know, sometimes you meet people and they think they're Jesus. You know? How do I know? How do I know I'm not Jesus? I was confused by my father Joseph at 6 when he found his woodwork in bits. He said crossly, "Jesus Christ Almighty." Later on, when girls came my way, with passion they'd say, "God, I hate you." Jesus, not me, I'm shrouded in mystery. I'm like Bono with his Joshua tree. Eric had the agent graffiti. "Clapton is God," they wrote. "Now you crucify me for blasphemy, but I cannot take pain." But I know, no, I'm not Jesus, because on my birthday, people don't get rat-faced, hug their bosses at the office party, buy 3 weeks shopping for one day, give presents to people they hate. No, I was born on May Eve, and after all the commotion, my mother said to her best friend, "Look what the fairies left to me. That's gospel, and king of the fairies." I had the collection of Bare Hands Poetry Publishers this year, so I'm grateful to them. "I was your willing weapon of the masses for justice, hope, liberty, all mass produced. We first met at the Florida arms dealer near his green, slimy alligator swamp. Knew we were in deep when we guarded drug shipments in St. Lucia, raided banks in Paris, got hot and sticky by Spanish eyes as policemen died, froze in damp, sought our mare hedges where we took out army checkpoints. But then you cradled me to your shoulder, pointed me in the right direction, laid me in a bunker, oiled and greased, off the streets, decommissioned. We have left our mark on the world, so sleep, my friend, sleep tonight." Hillsborough came from a 5-word challenge here. A few months back, the words in it, apples, tortoise shell, insidious, and I'm sure the other ones. The sun in this is the sun newspaper. Hillsborough. Word came of the crushing, apples in a barrel, spectators squeezed against the fence, cracked and broken tortoise shell, trampled in the heave, life fluid on shepherd's head. The sun alleged the rays throughout the day. Their reporting was insidious, even hideous. Nothing new in it. A couple of years ago, we had a handicapped child, and sadly she died. When we got the diagnosis, this thought came back to me when we were on the farm when I was a teenager. It's gone different. "Each spring our cows lowing vibrated farm fields as they called for lost offspring. We had taken their young away. After 2 days they usually gave up. We sought off bull calves and heifers, followed mothers into the milking herd. The year before my leaving cert, we had a different calf in the yard, born with a hole in its jaw. Inside she was like a china doll with some of the pieces gone. So we put our little black and white into a shed on her own, and when I called, a bucket milk she tried to drink. My eyes kept going down in horror to the hole by her mouth as milk poured out. She lived for 5 days, calling got lower. Her mother cried for 2 days and nights, as she did for all of her young. I went back to my books, kept nature's lesson in a folder on my hand." this, I must thank Bridget for this, because we worked on this together. It was inspired by Paul Muldoon's field hospital set in the American Civil War. This is not. Beating yellow wings through northern skies, shuddering on crosswind from explosions, flutters to find south-facing hills where he was born, flits from grass to churned-up earth to fresh war graves. Night descends further, then comes those old feelings as the light is suddenly lit, reflecting the red cross on the field hospital tent. Weaving around the flat to investigate, flamed in lanterns, new smells assault his senses. Aroma of puke, excrement, and humans, bits and pieces, surround him. Eater and cleansing fluid confuse, until he brushes over a wounded figure who moans in restless sleep, causing nurse to whisper, "George, can you fix that mosquito mix? I don't want the moths to disturb me."
One more.
The last weekend we had Aisha Michael Hartnett in Newcastle West, so I read this here, read it there. And I suppose the only thing I'd say, it's kind of like a dream or something surreal. It's called Saving Seamus Heaney. After attending the Seamus Heaney lecture, Limerick City, February 2012. Murphy's with me in the audience. Then Mr. Heaney begins to stagger a bit, and I, because of my first day of training, get on the stage. By this time he's on the floor, and Murphy loosens his tie. He's not breathing, so I tell Murphy I'm starting CPR. I've wanted to meet Mr. Heaney, but not like this. I give him two pulses of Limerick air, after 30 compressions, the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Murphy asks, "Who did the Catalina son get to win the Nobel Prize?" Then the paramedics arrive. Would he survive? Would he not? He's the poet who helped stop a European country declare war. He could bring an audience to tears talking about his mother. One defibrillator pad still in my hand, and keep it as a souvenir. Murphy is going to bring his first aid box every Portrait week this year. What is it about us Irish on our little island? Getting sleepy down, all thoughts and dreams, counting wheels within, counting stones from Beckett's pockets. Night. Yeah.